Ephesians chapter 5, we read a few scripture verses. I will read quite much this morning because some people have expressed what's on my heart a lot more eloquent than I could ever do it, because in the topic which we're going to discuss, they have done a lot of homework, which as a local pastor, we just don't have the time to do all that research. But I can tell you when it comes to the Word of God, there is plenty in my heart and mind to tell you. So let's go to chapter 5 of Ephesians, and let's go to verse 6. And we read all the way till 17. These are not verses which you have never read, but let's look a little bit from a different aspect. That means we're looking at the world we're living in, and we try to look into the Word of God and say, is there anything in the Word of God that will guide us through these difficult times? And I say, yes, there is. Listen to this. Let no one deceive you with empty words. It's not that there are no words. They're just empty. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. I want you to stop there just for a second. This is so important. When you and I don't walk in the moment by moment every day in that light, that means we know the truth. We know the truth. We know what we have, how to live. But then we have to walk as children of light. Why? For the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Let me turn it around. All that is evil, deceptive, and dark is not from God. It's not of God. I don't care what people try to explain it. It's not of God. God can never operate with darkness. He is light. Light overcomes darkness. When you and I live in this world, we have to be radically different. In other words, when you walk down the street, there is something about you, not because you're acting stupid, but there's something about you that makes a difference. You don't need to act crazy. You just need to be what God wants you to be. Just walking in light. When people meet with you, they know that you speak the truth. They don't second guess because you have a history of speaking the truth. If people make a business deal with you, they know that it's an honest business deal because you have a history of doing dealings with people that are based upon honesty and truth. That makes all the difference. These are just two things I mentioned that makes you totally, radically different than the world operates. Totally different. Have you ever gone to a store, which I don't visit often, and there's a price tag on something, and it says it's 35% off? Seen that? And you go, that's a deal. They forgot to tell you 3 days before they put the 35% in, put the price tag on it, and they give you 35%. That's not honest, is it? It's actually not a deal, okay? But that's the way the world operates, because in our mind we process that as a deal. But Paul is telling the Ephesians that when you walk as children of light, what is good and what is right and what is true becomes a part of your life. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Did you recognize that? Try to discern. That means you have to look at it and put it immediately into the context of biblical truth. Not what you think is good, biblical truth. And he says, discern it, because without discernment, you will be deceived, you know. So try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. This is where I'm going to hound today the thought. We cannot just know and see darkness. We cannot just analyze it. We cannot just talk about it with people. We have to expose it. If you don't expose us, no light shines on it. And when there is no light, those who operate in darkness can work the dark spots of human society without ever being challenged. And that's the society we are in, by the way. Look where he goes on to say, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, whatever the things are. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. That means it's now in the truth. You're going to see, even if it's evil, it's still the truth. Evil has to be spoken as evil, and good has to be spoken as good. In other words, when it comes to light, you will see the evil, that's truth, and you will see the good, that's truth. Whatever, but we can't muddle that. We have to really stay focused. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's talking to believers at Ephesus. And he says, they're sleepers, they're sleeping. They're walking like dead people, but they have life. Have you ever seen churches like this? Have you ever seen people like Christians? They're walking like zombies. And you think, what happened? They fell asleep. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are absolutely fantastic. Is that what your Bible says? What does it say? Do you believe that the days we're living in are evil? Yeah, they are. And the Bible says we cannot just waste our time with unfruitful works that has absolutely no impact to expose the evil. So we should be busy letting light shine upon these things. For that, you've got to look around a little bit and discern. Therefore, do not be foolish, he goes on to say, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is to expose evil, to let light shine by the way we are walking. Is that all understood? Okay, Bible study over. Maybe, let me give you a little bit more, since you were not all agreeing. Listen one more time. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, correct? How many of you would have to agree with me, this is not a suggestion? What is it? What do you think? It's a command. It's a command. We don't have even an option. We have to do it. Which means to have no association or participation in immoral and unrighteous deeds. That's what that means. We have no participation. Instead of participating, one is instructed to expose these acts of wrongdoing. In other words, radically different. Even radically different than what the world, even radical different with woke churches. Radically different. Are you able to speak up and say, this is not right? This is not the way God said it ought to be. We have to expose it. See, the church in the West has been totally taken over by woke ideology. We didn't recognize it. As a matter of fact, in the 60s, Marxism was introduced into the Western culture, and the church embraced it under the umbrella of social justice. This is only possible because people in the West have never experienced true Marxism. Or let me quote maybe Solzhenitsyn, who was in the gulags during the Soviet Union, who could not understand when he came to the West that the West was asleep. He said, the church has not a clue how things work. They're embracing social justice, but it's Marxism covered up. And he said this, the church will never wake up, neither will the people in the land, unless the boot of the soldiers is on their neck. End of quote. My friend, when the boot of the enemy is on your neck, it's too late to fight. And that's what happened in the Western world. The church is absolutely guilty as the whole world we're living in. We have not put the light on it. Well, Pastor, that's a controversial subject. It ought to be. We are different. We are different. When we are living in a world full of darkness, there's only one hope, and that's the church. There is no other hope. I always said, the way the church goes, that's the way the country goes. Let me ask a question. Do you think our country the last 40 years went in the right direction? You know the answer. Then let's look what the church has done. It's not good. And I'm not here to just rattle on and take all the things and spend your time and my time in putting all the negative out there. There's plenty of it. But I thought we should jump right in what happened this week, this past week. Most people don't recognize, but a major shift has taken place. Not that we didn't see it coming, but the major shift is now here, and you can't reverse it. Let me say it again. You can't reverse it. There's a whole generation who has embraced socialism, which they don't understand is Marxism, that had itself, listen carefully. Marxism has itself combined with Islamism. And we don't get it. We don't get it. We have no clue anymore about the history. New York is the largest city in the United States of America in population. You probably know that the financial capital of the world is still New York City, only for a few more months. What we have just witnessed is a perfect merge between Marxism and Islamism. New York will be the test subject in the entire Western world, especially in America, if people are willing to stand up and make a difference or if they cave in. And I have that sneaky feeling they're just going to cave. The new elected mayor, we obviously know him, made this statement. He made a support statement to a statement that has been made by an imam, which is a Muslimic leader. I quote him, "Globalize the intifada." That's jihad all over the world. "Which he hailed as a desperate desire for equality and equal rights and standing up for the Palestinian human rights." He doesn't stand up for human rights in America, but he stands up for Palestinian rights. This is a Palestinian-led movement, okay? Because Mamdani supports boycott, divestment and sanctions, BDS. How many of you have ever heard of this? Well, my wife obviously has. She said, "What's this?" It refuses to denounce Sharia law. And it's a Palestinian-led movement promoting boycotts of divestment, economic sanctions against whom? Israel. And you think, well, that's Israel. They have it coming, correct? Let me fill you in a little bit, because most of you being propagandized by the Western media. Mamdani said, I quote him. The best is always to quote him, correct? These are not my words. He said, "I think critiques of the state of Israel are critiques of a government as opposed to critiques of a people, of a faith." I want you to listen very carefully. This same statement has been copied and put over the airwaves on podcasts from some of the most conservative podcasters in the conservative movement. Straight from the mouth of Mamdani. And people are sucking it in. And this is what he said. Well, my job is to represent every single New Yorker, and I will do so no matter their thoughts and opinions on Israel and Palestine, of which millions of New Yorkers have very strong views, and I'm one of them. End of quote. It has been said for years in the church, from the pulpits, that there be moderate Muslims. The first time I heard it from a leader was when President Bush Jr. was in the White House. We had 9/11. Over 3,000 people killed. There's not a single American flew these airplanes. They were all Saudis. These are not Palestinians. These were Arabians. Okay? For those of you who may not know geography, there is a peninsula called Arabia. Okay? Most of them is desert. And everybody who was born there or has ancestry there are called Arabs. The rest are not Arabs. There may be Persians. They're all tribal people. They're not Arabs. The Palestinians are not Arabs. But we have been brainwashed. The historical facts are more than just a reminder that Islam producing today's terrorism is the Islam of its founder, Muhammad. It's directly linked. What did Muhammad do? There were hundreds of gods worshipped, tribal gods, in the Middle East during that time. 7th century, by the way. And so Muhammad, his main god in his tribe was Allah. So he took that, and he took his soldiers, which he trained, and he ran all across the Saudi Arabian desert. Okay, the Arabian desert. And forced them under the sword to either accept Allah as their god or die. Does that sound familiar? He ran to the entire Middle East eventually. Not him, but his followers later on. And they forced people to deny Christianity, to deny Jesus, and they would be spared if they make an allegiance pledge to Allah. Does that sound familiar? That has never changed. It's still today. How many of you still remember 2015? Well, on video, on YouTube, there were these pictures flowing everywhere where 18 Christians, Syrian Christians, were in orange jumpsuits underneath, and behind them a jihadi with the gun. How many of you have seen them? That is not trying to convert them with a truth. That is forced conversion. Those 18 said, we rather die than worshiping Allah. And boom. There was no outcry in the Western culture. What if that happens in the cities of the United States of America? You said that would never happen. Well, that's what the Jewish people believed too. We are now in the land God has given us. We are safe. We have the most secure border between Gaza and Israel. As a matter of fact, the head of Mossad, that's the intelligence agency of Israel, made this statement. I quote him. We know when somebody coughs in Gaza. That's how good our surveillance is. What happened? What happened? It's a good question, isn't it? October 7th, 2 years ago, changed that entire picture. So before we go there, I want you to read with me 2 Corinthians. Make a left turn from Ephesians, chapter 6. Verses 14 to 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What is Belial? People just say, well, that's another word for Satan. No, 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 no. It's not a singular thing. Wicked and worthless individuals. That's what that's been translated, Belial. It's not just, you know, an entity in the spiritual realm. This is a cop-out which the church has used for years. Study the word yourselves. Belial is a personification of evil perpetrated through people. That's what Belial is. You have absolutely nothing to do with people who are doing wickedness and evil things. What about those churches who are having imams coming to church explaining Islam? From the pulpit. I'm not telling you stories. It's happening all the time. Paul forbids it. Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? I want you to know, how many of you know, if you're a child of the living God, you're the temple of God where the Holy Spirit lives in. The temple of God can never ever let an Allah get in there. Period. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's you and me. That's you and me. There's a call to separation. Can you hear that? The call? Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. The call of separation. I think the Apostle Paul emphasizes that this is not just a suggestion, but it's a divine order how believers have to interact with the world. It's a divine command. Listen, it's not just exposure. It's more than that. Bringing light in it. The church said, well, you know what? I abstain from doing these kind of things. That's not good enough. Abstain is neutrality. I don't want to get involved. I'm going to get canceled on YouTube. Well, nobody can cancel me on YouTube. I'm not there. Well, you're going to be censored on the social media. That's great. I never had an account, so don't worry about it. I knew where that's going when he came. I told my wife, I know exactly where that's going. I've studied the history of Marxism, and we are in the full-fledged attack by Marxism. I knew exactly where that goes. I'm not saying that you have to cancel your accounts, but what I'm telling you is make sure when you put something out, it's truth and not a lie you just heard from a friend who texted you something and you're just forwarding it. That's participating in evil. Just like I say, if somebody gossips and you send it forward, you have participated in evil. And listen, whoever participates in evil, evil will not depart from your home. I just quoted the Bible. People just don't get it. You cannot go there. You can. How many of you have a delete button on the phone? Oh, that guy, pick. You don't participate. That should be your most activated button. You have no business to do that. It's opening up a door for the enemy because you have refused to expose it. If you want to answer, say, I do not participate in gossip because the Bible tells me I invite evil into my home. God forbid, never send me anything. See how that goes with your friends. Your circle is going to shrink in a hurry. That's okay. Because what we're dealing with here, what Paul says, is world religions, and there are plenty of it, versus Christianity. Paul makes stark contrast between Christian holiness and worldly religions and their cultures. We are so different. We cannot compromise. How many of you know a compromise will never stay a compromise? It goes further than that. It will eventually bring results which we have never bargained for. And that's the problem. So let me bring it to October 7th. It was on my heart for 2 years now. I didn't want to say much because I thought, you know, everything. But then I have discussions over 2 years with a lot of people. And I recognize the American people have swallowed 90% lies about October 7th. And I'm telling you this because we are about to see a change in the Middle East. And it's not a good one. I know our political leaders say we are going to have agreements soon. And I tell you what, you cannot compromise. We are a nation that has been founded upon the Christian principles. You cannot make covenants with the devil. He will always win. Because we have no business to do that. So October 7th, 2023, 2 years ago, more than 1,200 men, women, and children, including 46 Americans and citizens of more than 30 countries, were slaughtered by Hamas. These are facts. The largest massacre the Jews experienced since the Holocaust. Where is the outcry? Girls and women were sexually assaulted. I read interviews. I'll tell you later on who made these interviews happen and then recorded it. I can't read them all. It breaks your heart. It is so evil. I don't even think that a regular human being is capable of doing such evil. But they did it, which tells me we're dealing with demonic forces, spiritual wickedness. These people in the Bible will be called Belial. They are personification of evil and wickedness. That's what that is. And Paul said we should never have anything to do with that. Never. So what Hamas did not just kill these people. They also took 254 people hostage, including 12 Americans. Do you remember the time when the Iranian revolution took place? Ayatollah, by the way, sad to say, he had refuge in Switzerland. Then he got a little bit hot. Then he went over to France. And they let him stir the soup so he can bring Islamism into Persia. Persia was never Islamic before, okay? These are Persians, these are not Arabs. They took Persia over, and what did they do? They ran over the United States Embassy, remember? How many of you are still old enough to remember that? And we had a very, very powerful president in the White House by the name of Jimmy Carter, who did not know what kind of pants he puts on in the morning when he gets going. And they held these people hostage until Reagan came into office. Within 48 hours, they released Americans because they knew the wind has changed. Because Reagan was not about willing to negotiate. You release them or we wipe you out, was pretty much the deal. These people are so wicked, they do not understand political language, but they utilize it to get their dirty work done. And we just see that in New York. What most people don't know, and what the news media does not want you to know, is that by 2023, I'm talking when the attack happened, Hamas had enjoyed billions of dollars of funding in international aid from the United States, from the United Kingdom, and the European Union. What did they flood with young people over the last Biden administration's years? Europe, United Kingdom, and the United States. We funded them by billions. Oh, we didn't give it directly to them. We gave it to the UN. The UN is one of the most wickedest organizations on the planet. They have undermined America since day one, and we spend billions of dollars. Okay? If you go to the UN building in New York, there is a room, a big room, which is a spiritual room where you can go pray. Every religion under the world is mentioned in there except Christianity. That's on our property in America. Nobody speaks a word. What happened? We have been brainwashed. We believe that this is good. Do you know why we have these problems in our schools? United Nations. There are genders. This is an excellent book written by Carl Teicherp about that, who infiltrated the UN for 20 years. He went on every meeting, meticulously recorded everything that was said, and put the names right in the book. It's evil to the core. By October 7th, when the attack happened, it has been estimated that the group's leadership from Hamas accumulated over $11 billion for their private bank accounts. Oh, by the way, just an insert for you to know. Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, illegal president, by the way, Ukraine, and I got that from sources who know very well what's going on, has every month, he has four accounts under his name and his wife's name. I'm not telling you where. There are six different, semi-countries or islands where you can launder money and nobody ask a question. He has four different accounts. Every month, he sends $50 million into these accounts, in each account. That's our money. He is a crook to the core. We have no business to deal with that man. No business. He's selling his own country. He killed 1.8 million of his people in that war. 1.8 million. People, the young people, fleeing Ukraine as fast as they can if they make it across the border. If they see him going across the border, they kill him. That sounds like when the Berlin Wall was up. People wanted to escape. The Russians just shot him, correct? It's Marxism all over the place. By the time our eyes were open, maybe not all of them open, let me share with you something. I don't know how you listen to these things and how much you know. You say, Pastor, how important is that? Because it's going to come against you and me. That's how important that is. I don't want you to be asleep. When these things are happening, we forget to listen with open ears and watch with open eyes. How many of you know, I know in America we call it Qatar. Okay, have you ever heard of the country of Qatar? It's in the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. Very rich country. We call them Qatar. That's how the Qataris say it, Qatar. One of the wealthiest nations on the planet. Okay. Who gave our president a $400 million airplane? Okay, just asking. Okay. So, where does Hamas leadership with these 11 billion reside? In Qatar. Luxury condominiums overlooking the ocean. They're locking their own Palestinian people literally in on living themselves in luxury. It would take me three more Sundays at least to explain how this all happened since the Second World War. Actually, we could go all the way back to the first, but I don't have the time. But you need to understand that history is getting rewritten all the time, especially in wartime. How many of you know the first casualty of any war is? Truth, always. It will be rewritten, undergo, and we're living in that time again. Within a couple of months, when October 7th happened, within a couple of months, okay, everyone was against Israel because Israel started defending themselves and said this is an existential threat. They obviously understood that. Douglas Murray is the person I mentioned earlier who has done hundreds of interviews with survivors or family members who lost everything, even their children, relatives, on that 7th October attack. I don't know how you will be feeling. But I put myself, when I hear these stories as a dad, I put myself into that position, think that could have happened to my son, to my daughter-in-law. I don't know how they can cope with it. How would you cope with it? Well, I'm going to be a good Christian. I just ignore it. No, I think I would train myself even better to use this machine gun. I have been trained on it, so I know how to handle it. There would be an internal fury, wouldn't there? Such evil things. And then the world is turning against them and say, well, you have no right to defend yourselves. Then they say, you know, they only killed 1,200. They only had 250 plus people, which they took captive and used it as pawns to get the best deal out of it. That is no comparison to the 60,000 the Israeli bombs killed. Well, hold off a second. We get 12 hostages back from them and releasing 1,200 of the most vicious terrorists in the world and giving back to them that they can do more terroristic acts. How is that lopsided? See, the world is not telling you that. The media is not telling you that. They know the truth will make the Western world rise up. So they lie to us. Douglas Murray said this, and I'm reading it to you. It's so powerful. He said, by the evening of the 7th, a great crowd of anti-Israeli protesters gathered outside the Israeli embassy in London, among other places, to celebrate the massacres of the day. It just came on the news that the massacre took place. As a matter of fact, you and I know, it was 7, it was 8, and it was in the middle midday of 9th when Israel finally got a handle on them on getting these terrorists killed or chased away. While it was still going and innocent people by the hundreds got killed, women got raped and murdered afterwards, in the Western world, the people in the cities were celebrating that that happened. What a wicked world. They waved flags and lit flares while shouting the same war cry and victory cry as the terrorists. Allahu Akbar. Okay. Allah is great. That's what that means. The Times Square rally against Israel took place on October 8th. While Hamas terrorists were still murdering their way to the south of Israel and the battles were still going on. Nobody in American leadership stopped that. That's not freedom of speech. That's supporting terrorism. There's a great difference there. That same day, there was a protest in Manchester, England, at which one of the conference, the co-founders of Palestine Action, told the crowd, when we hear the resistance of Al-Aqsa flood, we must turn that flood into a tsunami of the whole world. End of quote. Do you get the message? It's not going to stay there. The following day, October 9th, thousands of anti-Israeli protesters gathered outside the Israeli embassy in the Kensington section of London to celebrate the attacks carried out, acts of criminal damage on the area, and attacked Israel on the way. Many of the attendees carried signs saying, end to occupation, chants included Intifada Revolution. Other celebratory crowds gathered outside the Prime Minister's house at 10 Downing Street, again lighting flares, chanting Allahu Akbar, and carrying signs and praising the massacres. Just one of these read the signs. Decolonization is not a metaphor. That's an underhanded thing against the United States of America and the Western European countries. In these early celebrations, the vast majority of the participants were British Muslims, with the men dressed in terrorist chic and many of the women in burqas and other face coverings. The first big march against Israel in London took place October 15th. Listen, a week after the killing. This time with thousands of people in attendance. At this and smaller protests, the previous day, whenever the crowd spotted anyone they identified, rightly or wrongly, as Israeli, they chased them. They wanted to kill them right in London. The British police stood by idly, doing almost all of this, allowing the mob to police the streets themselves with the Metropolitan Police as some sort of bystander. By October 21st, central London was just one of the British cities that came to a standstill as over 100,000 anti-Israel protesters gathered in the capital. He writes that because he was there. He's a British citizen, by the way. He was there, recording everything. That demonstration included the group of Hizb ut-Tahrir, an Islamic group that is banned in a number of Muslim and European countries. One of the members of the United Kingdom, Luqman Makin, had already declared that Hamas, the attack of Hamas of October 7, made us all very, very happy, and that shared a message on social media about killing the Jews. They don't take that down. On October 21st, Rally, the group's members held a huge banner reading, "Muslims armies, rescue the people of Palestine." And one of the speakers in London shouted out, "What is the solution to liberate people in the concentration camp called Palestine?" In reply, the crowd shouted, "Jihad, jihad, jihad." In April of this year, that's 2 years later now, almost, Murray published all these things in a book called On Democracies and Dead Cults, under the subtitle Israel and the Future of Civilization. The actions aside, he said, it was never hard to judge Hamas's leadership and its aspiration by their words. In other words, when they say something, believe it, they mean it. This was Israel's downfall. They heard all these things, they heard rumors, they heard intelligence reports, and the leadership of Israel was thinking that's just rhetoric. They would dare never come close to the fence. Ignorance is not saving you. Israel is never the same. It will never be the same. Israel will destroy anyone who wants to do war with them. Everyone, anyone. Listen, you cannot make a peace agreement with enemies who have sworn that they will kill every Jew they can find. You cannot make a peace agreement. Yeah. Would you go for a dinner when you know the person just put on the social media that they want to kill you? Would you go? You wouldn't go, would you? At least before you would have written your will, you know. If I survive, no, that would be dumb. The Israelis know what's going on. We have to be careful. So in that book, he said, in 2012, the deputy speaker of the Hamas parliament said in a sermon, "O Allah, destroy the Jews and the supporters," which would be in America. "O Allah, destroy the Americans and the supporters. O Allah, count them one by one, kill them all without leaving a single one." End of quote. Do you think we Christians may be on the list? In 2019, senior Hamas official Fatih Hamad said, "You have Jews everywhere, and we must attack every Jew on the globe by way of slaughter and killing." Why that hatred? Why that hatred? What did the Jews do that they so hated? They're radically different, and they don't mind to show it. In April 2023, 6 months before October 7th, senior Hamas official Sheikh Hamad al-Rageb said, "Bring annihilation upon the Jews, paralyze them, destroy their entity," that means the state. And perhaps most importantly, there was the leader of Hamas in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar, he was assassinated by Israeli intelligence, while he was sitting in Qatar. Precision weapon. Don't mess with Israel. They mean business. They take you out. They have to. Listen what the guy said. He gave an address to the citizen in Gaza. "We'll take down the border with Israel and tear out the hearts from their bodies." That's exactly what they did October 7th. to literally open up bodies and tore out their hearts. The Israelites believed in their own conception. You know, you have certain conception. Would not be the first group of people who failed to take an enemy at their word, he says. But in all of these cases, the Hamas leadership said it because they meant it, because they wanted to act on it, on their planning to do so. What do you think? I have a whole thing written out for you, but I knew I always write down a lot more than I can communicate. So there is a story, and we're not going to put it up for you, it's too long to read. But there is a story in there where a lady from Canada went decades ago to Israel. Her name is Vivian Silver. She lived in the southern, right outside the Gaza border fence. And because she's a peace activist, her goal was to make Israel and the Palestinians live together. So what she did is, she went every week into Gaza. Israel allowed it to happen. And she picked up deadly sick children, Hamas children, and brought them over to Israel into the hospitals to be treated and brought back to health. That was her peace mission. For years. Every Hamas leader knew her, the Israelis knew her. She was pro-Hamas because she believed that Israel does not do right with keeping those people in there. When the attack happened, she was living there. And this is what came out. I read it straight from the book. In the immediate aftermath of the attack, it was assumed that the peace campaigner, Vivian Silver, was one of the residents who had been kidnapped and taken into Gaza because they couldn't find her. And they thought, well, they probably take her as a pawn, you know, because she will not fight. The various peace groups that she had worked with all these years lobbied the Red Cross and others to request that their friend and colleague, a friend and colleague to the Palestinian people, be returned to them. Soon her name and photograph were made into one of the hostage posters that were swiftly put together by friends, families, and volunteers. But over a month after the massacre, Silver's fate became clear. Her home had been completely burned out on October 7th by the terrorists, and it would turn out that she had been burned alive with it. There was so little left of her that it took 5 weeks just to find enough DNA evidence that the house in which she had lived and in which she had dreamed of peace was also the house in which she was murdered. End of quote. Do you think maybe the Apostle Paul's words are resonating in that story? Don't go with evil. Do not go with evil. Evil will overtake you. You can't have fellowship with darkness. Murray did hundreds of interviews with Israelis who wanted a hostage back. You know, families who were hurting badly. How would you act if your son or your daughter were being hostage and you know they're being treated very, very badly? Wouldn't you do everything to get them back? Sure. In one of the interviews, a person named Moran made this statement. If we don't stop this here, it will continue to the rest of the world. You understand? It's not staying there. Now, in a year, 10 years, 50 years, and that's, I think, what I want to say to the world. We need to stop it here. We need to explain there's no justification. They should be released talking about hostages. One of his sons was there in the hostage crisis. There's no justification for them to be there now. Can you imagine America will be overrun in a big city like New York? Police will do absolutely nothing, and they round up 100,000 people, Americans, and bring them somewhere and keep them hostage. What would America do? I tell you what the churches would do. Let's pray. They would do nothing. They would do nothing. The bunch of sold out wicked socialists. They do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You got to be inhumane not to protect your own children, your own family. That's a fundamental thing God has given to us. He said that the husband is responsible for the safety of the family. That includes spouse, children, and if you can, children, you are responsible. You cannot let that happen. And you said that will never happen. I wouldn't take that out of the equation. Just saying, I don't want to scare you, but I don't want to fall asleep, make you fall asleep either. He mentions the Red Cross, who have just made a demand to the Israelis that they be allowed to visit Palestinian prisoners in Israel. Listen to this. But with them and other international bodies, unlike the United Nations, Moran cannot understand why his family seems not to be of any importance. Why the silence, he asks? The United Nations, the Red Cross, they want to demand that Israel opens the prisons that they can go and get the Palestinian prisoners and hold Israel accountable how they treat them, but they do not let any Israeli going over and see the hostages in the tunnels, which are Israelis. What's that? We're living in days like this. And I tell you why I tell you all this. Not just that things are going to get worse. So we have an Israeli flag hanging out there, correct? I'm not ashamed of it. Some people ask me, Pastor, what's the purpose? I said, to wake you up. That's a purpose. If a church is anti-Israel, listen to what Manami said. He said, well, it's against the government, not the people. They didn't kill the government. They killed people, real living family members. Don't believe that lie. And now we have these big influences in America, okay? And I just mentioned two because they're in the headlight right now. Tucker Carlson shifted entirely. Anti-Israel all of a sudden. He said exactly what Mandami said. Well, we're against the state, not against the people. That's baloney. That would be saying, I'm against the American government, but not the people. What do you mean? We are the government. Candace Owen is another one. I just tell you, turn these things off. They're not worth listening to. I don't know why they shifted, but there is an invisible hand behind it. Anytime you hear anti-Israel rhetoric, you will get anti-Christian rhetoric. Not at the beginning. Oh, I'm a Christian. Have you ever read the Bible? God is not done with Israel yet. Let me say it again. God is not done with Israel yet. Read your Bible. When he's done with the church age, he will work with Israel. He will bring them to their knees so that they will see that their Savior is not the government, it's not the United States supporting them, it is the Lord Jesus Christ whom they have pierced. They will recognize that. How many of you can say every prophecy in the Bible ever written down has already been fulfilled and the rest will be fulfilled exactly the way it says it? We need to see what's going on in the world. It is a dangerous place to live. We in the West have been spiritually blinded. We soak it in because we think the one who is behind the microphone is on our side. If they speak against the biblical truth, they are not on our side. We think entirely differently. We're radically differently opposed to anyone who speaks differently than what the Bible says. We're not their friends, and they're not our friends. Let me mention that it's going to get worse. There will be a lot more to be had. Why? Podcast is one of the biggest money makers today, as you well know. Big podcasters make 20 to 30 million bucks a year because the mass media is dead. Nobody listens to them anymore, and praise God for that. But you know what? It's not always the better cop that comes. Once they have the power, they will utilize it. I don't know who is doing what behind the scene. It's not important for me. I know there's only light and darkness. There's only Yahweh, the God of Israel, by the way. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, Jacob turned into Israel. That's the God of the Bible. Okay? And he has a son. He sent him here called Jesus of Nazareth. He died on the cross for you and me. He rose again to prove that not even death can conquer him. And he told us he's coming back. The Muslims do not believe that. Their God is Allah. God has no son. Allah has no son. And the prophet is Muhammad. An entirely radical different religion cannot be combined. Period. No compromises can be made. And you have to make up your mind, because it determines where you're going. And America needs help. How many of you would like to say amen to that? Amen. And the church leadership, in general, does not take the warning from God's word really serious, just like the Israelis did not believe that that attack could happen, because we think we are in America and we're all safe and sound. I tell you one thing. What we have today may not be tomorrow. Who guarantees you that? I've seen way too many changes. I believe when Obama went in his acceptance speech, actually, no, it's not, it was his last speech before he was inaugurated, where he said, 5 days and America will be perfectly and totally transformed. Nobody took him serious. He did. He laid the foundation. He still is hiding his true identity. He's a Muslim, a core Muslim and socialist. They go together. We have that socialism everywhere in the universities, higher education, everywhere you go. We got it in the churches. All the stuff which are side issues now, like with all the transgenderism, LGBTQ, DEI, and all this kind of garbage, is directly connected to demoralize all of us so that they can move on with their agenda. I would stand it. It will not happen in this church as long as I preach. We gotta stand up. It's a battle. We knew when you become a Christian, you're not going on vacation, you just entered an army. You're not sitting in the barracks eating sandwiches and ice cream. You get a weapon called the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and you gotta wield it. You gotta use it, and you gotta live by it. This is not a time to play the vacation slot. This is a time to stand firm on wherever you go, you'll let your light shine. It's not a suggestion. It's a must. That's the only way that you can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. No other way. So I challenge all of you this morning that I hope that you are seeing it, what's going on. I hope that you are willing to educate yourselves a little bit better. I hope that I don't have to preach another sermon like this. It was on my heart for a long time. I finally got the green light from the Lord. I said, when can I preach that? I want to preach it. I want to tell the people what's actually going on. So here you have it. And I don't know why the time was chosen, but I have that sneaky feeling we might be just short of a major change coming. So, and whatever that is, here is my advice. Don't you fear. We were singing that song this morning. Correct? We're children of the living God. We have no fear. But we have weapons. And we got to use it. We have the truth, which no lie can stand against it. You have to stay firm. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we want to thank you. We are not, as a family, eager to get these kind of messages. Lord, we're not eager to hear messages that seem like putting a damper on our excitement. But then you have in your book a prophet like Jeremiah. He wanted to run away. He didn't want to preach that, what you told him. He faithfully did it, even at the cost of losing his own freedom. Lord, you have never changed. You still have your people in place who are willing to stand up. And we're just asking you to raise up more and more in the church who are not afraid to speak the truth. We don't want to be controversial for controversial's sake, but we want to speak the truth in love, telling the people we cannot participate in what evil and darkness does. We have to expose it. We have to speak about it. And Lord, grant all of us in this room, young and old, to speak the truth, not compromising, not being neutral, but standing firm and making a difference. We all understand it may mean that we lose some friends. Some family members maybe think we're crazy, but that's okay. Lord, we just want to stand for you. And we're asking your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us deeper into your word. Give us understanding so what's going on in the world, we can connect it, what you already promised will happen. And we can see it right there. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we walk through this world. And let us never be sucked in by darkness, not even a shade of it. But we will stand firm and we can bring glory and honor to you. The day when we come home, we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because of what you do in and through us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, amen. Let's stand. Let's sing.